Good day, and welcome to UTI Asset Management Company Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. From the management, we have with us Mr. Imtiazur Rahman, Chief Executive Officer and Managing Director, Mr. Surojit Saha, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Vinay Lakhotia, Head Operations, and Mr. Sandeep Samsi, Head Investor Relations and Corporate Communications. We also have Investor Relations team from Adfactors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Please note the disclaimer mentioning these risks and uncertainties are on the disclaimer slide of the investor presentation that has been shared earlier. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Imtiazur Rahman for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon to all of you. It is a great pleasure to connect with you for the third quarter and 9 months ended earning call for the financial year 2022-2023. This also a very momentous occasion for UTI. Yesterday, 1st of February 2023, marked the beginning of the Diamond Jubilee year of the brand UTI that started its operation on 1st of February 1964. We also completed 20th years of UTI Asset Management Company, which began operation as a SEBI registered mutual fund on 1st February 2003. On this wonderful occasion, it is my privilege to thank all our stakeholders for being a great source of strength and support to UTI in this long journey. Friends, this week is marked as Union Budget Week 2023-2024. Yesterday, the Honorable Finance Minister, Nirmala Sitharaman ji, presented the first budget of the Amrit Kal of India. The era of Naya Bharat will be driven by technology and sustainable energy to create a knowledge-based economy which would have strong public finances and well-developed financial sector. The budget listed out 7 guiding principles, rightfully termed as Saptarishi, to help the country navigate to new heights in this Amrit Kal. The Saptarishi are intricately linked to each other, as one is needed to ensure the fulfillment of the other, and the achievement of all the priorities will empower the economy to reach the objective of India at 100. The first priority, inclusive development, or what I would like to refer to as Sabka Saath, Sabka Vikas, cannot be achieved without a reference to the second Rishi, reaching the last mile. After all, we are a nation that is spread far and wide with people from every socio-economic and cultural background. The development of all of us is dependent on the fact that investments are being made to enhance the infrastructure throughout the length and breadth of the country, which has been outlined as a third priority. This will also help us create a vibrant financial sector that would enable us to achieve our economic goals while supporting the development of our nation. And while we talk about inclusive development, it has to be a growth that is sustainable, and this cannot be achieved without emphasizing on the growth of green energy and amplification of sustainable practices. This country belongs to the future. That's the youth. Their empowerment is the key to unleash the true potential of our country, from being one of the finest innovators to demonstrating best governance. with the government's encouragement to include financial literacy and financial education, we at ETI, as a member of financial sector and the mutual fund industry, take an added responsibility to continue to be the front runners on the investor education front. With the announcement of well-balanced budget that emphasizes on the economic growth while maintaining the fiscal prudence, the gears are all set to spur the consumption, savings, and capital investment. The budget for 2023-24 continues with the government vision of completing the macroeconomic level growth focus with a microeconomic and all-inclusive welfare emphasis. While it is usually difficult to achieve all the objectives at one go, this budget has managed to do so. There is high focus on capital spending, impressive fiscal management, while ensuring duration supply is moderate, thus creating enabling conditions for sustained economic growth. Let me share with you about the tax benefit for individuals. The announcement towards the personal income tax would benefit the people, especially the working population, as the government has introduced several benefits, more so with concessional tax regime, popularly known as new tax regime. Also, the maximum tax rate would see reduction from 42.74% to 39%. These favorable changes in the tax regime will provide individuals with surplus income that can be channelized to the capital markets and to the mutual fund industry. UTI will also be beneficiary of this change. Along with the favorable tax regime modification, which could help the inflow in mutual funds, the announcement relating to simplification of KYC norms would also highly benefit the industry. Reducing the cost of compliance and simplified KYC norms based on risk-based approach would help us to bring new investors in the mutual fund industry and in UTI. The strengthening of our industry would also help the country achieve its goal of having a strong financial sector, which will contribute to the objective of the $5 trillion economy. And as the mutual fund industry grows, UTI, with a wide presence across the length and breadth, will stand to benefit and help our fellow citizens on their wealth creation journey. UTI is looking forward to deepen its geographical presence in our country. With all the ingredients in place, India continues to be the fastest growing emerging economy. This will help us in the growth of the mutual fund industry and in the UTI. Coming to the major purpose of this call, to discuss our quarterly performance, I have with me my distinguished colleagues, Mr. Surjit Saha, Mr. Vinay Lakhotia, and Mr. Sandeep Samsi. With this, I now hand over to Mr. Sandeep Samsi to share with you about our performance. Over to you, Sandeep, and thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. I will first talk on UTI Mutual Fund's performance. For us, the quarterly average AUM as on 31st December 2022 stood at 240,841 crores, up by 7.2% year-on-year. As on 31st December 2022, our market share stood at 5.98%, consistent from the quarter ended September 22 and up by 15 basis points from 5.83 for the quarter ended March 22. Our equity quarterly average AUM market share is 4.82% for the October to December 22 quarter. Our equity quarterly average AUM for the December quarter stood at 73,631 crores, rising by 5.1% as compared to the quarter ended December 21. The quarterly average AUM for index and ETF recorded a year-on-year growth of 35.2% to rupees 81,580 crores for the third quarter. Net sales for UTI Mutual Fund for quarter 3 of FY23 stood at rupees 3,962 crores, while the overall industry saw inflows of 31,802 crores. The ETF and the index fund net inflow stood at 4,729 crores, gaining 13.1% of the industry in net inflows. UTI was able to capture market share of 8.5% of the gross sales of the industry during the quarter. The total asset under management for UTI Group registered a growth of about 14% over the corresponding quarter of previous year and stood at 14.98 lakh crore as on 31st December 22, as against 13.11 lakh crore as on 31st December 21. During the quarter under review, UTI added 23,000 folios, taking up the number of live folios to 1.21 crore as on 31st December 22 from 1.16 crore as on 31st December 21. During the quarter, our number of SIP accounts rose by 3.6%, taking the total number of live SIP folios to 24.66 lakh as on 31st December 2022. The new SIP registered during the quarter were 2.30 lakh. Our SIP AUM witnessed a growth of 18.6% over the corresponding quarter of last year, reaching to rupees 21,495 crores as on 31st December 22 from 18,126 crores as on December 21. The SIP inflows for the quarter stood at rupees 1656 crores, rising by 4.22% over the first quarter of the current fiscal year, financial year, and by 22.5% from the corresponding quarter last year. The SIP gross inflows for UTI Mutual Fund witnessed a year-on-year growth of 22.5% as against the industry growth of 21.6% with an average ticket size of rupees 3231 for December 22. Keeping a commitment to deeper and better access to B30 cities, that is beyond 30 cities, 23% of our monthly average AUM for December 22 comes from B30 cities, while the industry stood at 17% in terms of B30 market monthly average AUM. 108 of our 166 branches are in the B30 cities. So I would like to highlight some of the digital initiatives that we have taken at UTI in the last quarter. We have increased our distribution outreach by partnering with investor and distributor facing platforms and other aggregated platforms. The focus is on lead, traffic and API-led partnerships. We have partnered more than 10 such platforms. In our digital efforts, we have aggressively investing in our digital marketing efforts with the aim to acquire new customers as well as to create awareness by targeting relevant audience through paid marketing along with engaging existing customers via multimedia campaigns. We are on the path to be a data-first organization riding on our analytic and personalization at scale and are working on multiple such initiatives covering various business functions such as sales, digital marketing, products, investment, etc. We are revamping our contact center operations by riding on upgraded technology, digital solutions and skill resources for inbound and outbound calling, chat and pro-browsing activities. This will result in enhanced customer service and customer delight. We are on the path to cloud journey and move 92% of the workload on Agile and moving towards microservice-based architecture with an ultimate roadmap towards office-on-the-go model. Our applications are secured through multi-layered security architecture and encryption standards with incessant security surveillance in place. Data classification and enhanced privacy controls are enabled too. Now I turn my focus towards the UK AMC financials. During the third quarter, the company posted a consolidated net profit of rupees 60 crores as against rupees 127 crores in the quarter three of the financial year 22, reflecting a decline of 53%. The consolidated core net profit stood at 76 crores for this quarter. Core PAT excludes the mark-to-market gain, income from sale of investment and other non-operating income. For the 9 months of FY23, the consolidated core profit for net profit stood at 253 crore, up by 1% as against rupees 250 crore in the corresponding period of the last year. There is growth in the core profitability of the UTI Group. For UTI AMC standalone, the net profit of UTI AMC Limited in quarter 3 of FY23 is rupees 108 crore, reflecting an increase of 4% year-on-year as against 104 crore. In the same period last year and a decline of 9% quarter on quarter as against 119 crores in quarter 2 of FY23. The core net profit of UTI AMC Limited in quarter 3 of FY23 is rupees 60 crores, whereas the core income is at 226 crores in quarter 3 of FY23, reflecting a slight decline of 4% quarter on quarter and is constant from quarter 3 of FY22. For UTI Retirement Solutions, our AUM in UTI Retirement Solution has increased by 19% on closing basis to rupees 2,30,560 crore from rupees 1,93,331 crore in quarter 3 of FY22. Part of UTI SL is at rupees 12 crore, an increase of 15% compared to the corresponding quarter of the last year. UTI International Limited, the management fee of UTI International for the period ending December 22 stood at rupees 33 crore, a decrease of 8% year-on-year from rupees 36 crore for the corresponding period during 21. UTI Capital Limited made a net loss of rupees 1 crore during this quarter. The operating profit margin as a percentage of AUM for Q3 FY23 was 15 basis points on a standalone basis. Employee cost of the group in quarter 3 of FY23 was 104 crores, witnessing an increase of 7% year-on-year as against the AUM amount of rupees 97 crores in quarter 3 of FY22. For our subsidiaries, I would like to provide a brief highlight on the performance of our subsidiaries. UTI International has an AUM of rupees 23,826 crore as of 31st December 22. Our international clients are across 38 countries. They are primarily institutions, pension funds, insurance, banks and asset managers. One of our flagship funds, the India Dynamic Equity Fund, domiciled in Ireland, has an AUM of US$1080 million. UTI International's J. Sapra Sarasin Responsible India Fund, an ESG-compliant India fund, has an AUM of US$82 million. UTI India Innovation Fund, launched in the first quarter, has an AUM of US$17 million. UTI Retirement Solutions has been managing the NPS corpus for government and non-government sector. As on 31st December 22, its AUM is rupees 2,30,560 crore and has a share of 27.01% of the industry AUM. UTI Capital, with a total AUM of 1,643 crore, currently manages active debt funds, like the UTI Structured Debt Opportunity Fund, which is called as the HDOC 1, launched in August 2017 and closed on May 2019. It has an AUM of 204 crores. Currently, the fund is in exit mode. UTI HDOC 2, which was launched in September 2020, has an AUM of 507 crores, and the fund is currently in fundraising stage as well as investing. UTI HDOC 2 has a very well-defined ESG policy and strategy. UTI Multi-Opportunity Fund 1, which was launched in March 22, has an AUM of rupees 763 crores. Currently, the fund is in investing stage. Further, UTI Capital has launched another fund, the UTI Structured Debt Opportunities Fund Growth Team Fund 1, which was later rebranded as HDOC 3, and it has an AUM of 169 crores. I would now request the Managing Director and CEO to give his concluding remarks.
Thank you, Sandeep. Thank you, Sandeep, for sharing operational and financial highlights of our company. As we enter the Diamond Jubilee year of the UTI brand, I would like to reiterate our commitment towards our investors and this nation. Our emphasis on our people, process and performance is undeterred and continues to remain the backbone of our operational excellence. With this, I would like to open the forum for Q&A and thank you for joining this call today.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Swarnab Mukherjee from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. So I have three questions. First of all,
can you be a bit loud, please?
Yeah, sure. So my first question is on the the standalone business, so the mutual fund business, the ETF share has gone up quite significantly, and I think there is a bearing on the yield because of that. So if you could explain that, whether the yield which has come down is primarily because of ETF share increasing, or is there something else also at play there, as well as is this primarily the EPFO contribution, and how should we think about the ETF growth going ahead? So that would be the first question, sir.
So ETF business during the previous quarter has actually gone up as percentage to our overall AUM from 31% to 34%. In the ETF, we charge an asset management fees of around close to around 5 to 6 basis points. That has a marginal drag on our overall weighted average AMC fees. So if you see the weighted average AMC fees, it has marginally dipped from 38 basis points during the previous quarter to around 37. And the corresponding AMC fees in the last financial year for this particular quarter was also 37 basis points. So marginal impact as compared to the previous quarter. And coming to the question that from where the inflows are coming, primarily the inflows under the ETF categories are from EPFO, plus we have a lot of institutional client as well who are investing into their provident fund monies into ETF funds.
Okay, sir. So this is expected to continue going ahead at the same rate, right? So we should see the yield dilution also going ahead.
Yeah, there will be a marginal yield dilution because of the growth in the ETF business. Yeah.
But the absolute revenue will be up.
Yeah, got that, sir, of course, because the overall AUM is growing, right? So my second question is on the international business side. So in the international business, I think sequentially the AUM has gone down.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. There is a scary disturbance which is coming along with your voice. May I request you to use your handset, sir?
Yeah, is this better now?
Yes, sir, thank you. Please proceed.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so in the international business, there is a sequentially the AUM has gone down. So is this primarily due to mark-to-market loss or is there any kind of also any client loss or something like that has occurred which is resulting in this? And is this the primary reason why we see M2M of investments in the P&L of the international business, if you could highlight? And also on the expense increase in this business. So what is going on there, if you could let us know?
I will tell you about that client. We have not lost a single client. We have added more clients. And regarding our financial data about the mark-to-mark, Sandeep, over to you.
So UTI International, which is a subsidiary of UTI AMC, it had invested in India Dynamic Equity Fund, which is a diversified equity offshore fund, having a fund size of around 8,940 crores or about 1080 million. The investment was provided as a seed capital for the fund. The book value of this investment is 116.2 crores and the market value as on 31st December 22 was 280 crores. The impact in the financials is due to the decline in the NAV from September 22 and the currency impact for the reporting, for the financial reporting purposes. As the fund has grown over time and the AUM has crossed 1 billion, UTI has reduced this investment by booking profits in 21 and 22. UTI will continue to redeem from the IDF gradually and reduce the investment further over the next few quarters. The fund has given an absolute return of around 86.32% from the inception in dollar terms and has steadily given management fees to UTI International over the years. So that is about the financials of the UTI International.
So far as expenses are concerned, the main expenses is our legal expenses for to open our office in Paris. The UTI International is starting one of its office in Paris to meet the requirement of European investors. And there's one time legal expenses which you will find in the profit and loss account of UTI International.
Okay.
And we also will not think for the US. So there will be some more expenses on the your US strategy as well.
Okay, so the run rate for UTI International will continue to remain at a similar level on the expense side then for upcoming quarters?
No. I'm saying it's only one-time expenses. The legal expense is one time. We need not to incur any more cost there.
Okay, but something will come from the US also, something you mentioned that, right?
US strategy, we are working it out, so next year, we will, some more expenses may come as a one-time expenses.
Okay, sir. Got it. And last...
But may not be in this financial year.
May not be in this financial year. There's nothing in this financial year.
Sure, sir. That's helpful. Lastly, on the FIC inflow share, so if I calculate the inflow numbers that you have provided and also the industry level data that we get, I think there is very, very minor, but there is some, like, in the second decimal point kind of loss in market share. So should we be concerned on that in any way, or is this just a one-time deviation? If you could throw some light on that, what is going on there?
You are speaking about the overall percentage or only for the equity fund?
SIP.
Sir, for the SIP, sir.
I think the market share is close to around 4.05% of the fresh inflow. In fact, that number has actually improved by a few basis points for the last two quarters and so.
Okay, sir. So, I am getting slightly different numbers, so I'll take this offline. All right, sir. That's very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Viraj Kacharia from Securities Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, please proceed.
Yeah, hi. I just have three questions. First is on the yield part. Now, if I look at purely the domestic mutual fund business, you know, we've seen a very sharp moderation in yield. So, you know, both sequentially and year on year. So, it's, the moderation is in excess of 2.5 basis points. So if you can just kind of give some color, you know, what is driving this. So if I have to compare the yield which we get now in new flows vis-a-vis the old flows, what will be the flow yield which is accruing to us in the new flows?
No, I'm not sure which numbers are you looking at, because the yield on a sequential basis as well as on a year-on-year basis, there have been just a marginal decline. So corresponding on a year-on-year basis, also the yields were at 38 basis points. With respect to the previous quarter also, the yield were 37. And for this particular quarter, quarter three of this financial year, the yield is around 37 basis points. That primarily, as I stated earlier, is because of the growth in the ETF and the liquid fund business. In fact, yield on the equity fund has actually marginally improved as compared to the previous quarter by around a basis point or so. But having said that, still because of the growth in the ETF and the liquid business, there have been a marginal decline of yield in one basis point. Coming to the yield on the fresh business, I think we have stated earlier also, the yield on the fresh mobilizations are lower as compared to a stock AUM. Almost 50 to 70% of the total distributable expense ratio gets shared between the manufacturer and the distributor. So that will continue. As long as we are going, there will be a marginal impact on the yield of the equity fund. As I stated in my earlier call also, I think profit margin is one number that you should look at it. And I think that number, with the reduction in the cost going forward, that number will keep on improving on a quarter-on-quarter basis.
So when I say yield on domestic business, you know, I basically look at the earnings we had from a domestic business. So the revenue was around 216 crore. And, you know, if we look at the overall QAUM, which is around 2,40,000 crore. So, you know, we get a blended yield for the domestic mutual fund of somewhere around 35.9 or 36 basis points, as against 38.5 last quarter and 38.5 again the same year, quarter last year. So,
quarterly average number, what you stated, is 2,40,000 crore.
Right, sir.
So, again, that the AMC fees number will come down to 37 basis points, 35.6.
Okay, I'll.
So the AMC during this quarter is 216 crore actually.
Yes, sir, that's what I meant, and that's what I've been saying. So basically on that derivation, you know, we get a yield moderation of somewhere around 2.5 basis points.
So I think Virajji, maybe we can connect offline, but the yield moderation is actually not even 1 basis point, it's less than half a basis point as compared to the previous quarter as well as on the year-on-year basis as well.
Okay. Second question is on broadly on the cost structure. So, you know, the employee cost part. You know, for us, if I look at the overall performance in terms of, say, either the market share or incremented share in terms of the SIP flows also, you know, and if I kind of correlate that with the overall mutual fund scheme performance, you know, we have seen some kind of underperformance there vis-a-vis the market. So just trying to understand how, you know, when, how should one really understand the performance incentives or, you know, the ESOPs and other part, you know, going forward, considering.
See, on the incentive part, we are working, we have provided in the accounts, which Surjit will tell you, his throat is back, so bad is Sandeep will highlight your incentive plan. Indeed, the performance of our taxi cab scheme is low now, and based on the performance only, we will pay the variable pay to our employees. So how much we have accrued this time?
45. So, Viraj, if you see the variable pay, which is all ESOPs which are given to the employees, are all based on a very well-defined KRAs for investment as well as the sales team, and are completely dependent on the performance of the scheme. And we have highlighted that whatever we have been accruing, so for the 9 months for this financial year, we have accrued so far a variable pay of 43 crore, which is online with the performance of the scheme as well as the performance of the sales team. And we expect that this quarter will be equally be, you know, good for the organization based on our performance of our scheme as well as what we have been doing on the debt side. So it's, you know, it's not arbitrary. It's completely based on the KRAs that are there for all the sales team as well as the investment team.
Just two questions and I'll come back in queue. One is how much we have booked the performance incentive and ESOP, how much we have booked in the current quarter? And second is, you know, our expectation in terms of employee cost itself, you know, was that it will keep on moderating, you know, but every quarter it's, you know, we see a very different and, you know, we see an increasing trend. So just trying to understand, in terms of absolute level also, you know, by when do you really expect costs to moderate down?
Yeah, so Viraj, if you look at the ESOP cost that we have booked so far in the three quarters, it's about 15.1 crore. And for the fourth quarter, because it is already prefixed, it is 5.70 crores. So our total comes to 20.80 crores on the ESOP cost. On the employee cost, if you see last quarter also, the quarter two, the total cost which I had, including fixed cost, variable cost, as well as insurance and welfare expense, it was 103 crores. And in this quarter, it is 104 crores. So there is not a significant change in the number.
Yeah, and Viraj, one more thing. For the 9 months, if you see the employee cost, core employee cost is 265 crore and the variable pay is 43 crore. So if only the core employee cost, if you just annualize it, it comes to around 353 crore. And FY22, the core employee cost was 345 crore. If you just take a blanket 7% annual increment which we give, 345 figure should have been 369 crore. But we expect this financial year, this will be around 353 crore. So there is a downward trend in the overall core employee cost.
How much performance incentive and ESOP you said in the quarter we have booked for this particular quarter?
No, for the quarter, it's about 6.53 crores on the ESOP cost. And on the variable pay, which we have booked, it's about 14 crores.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prayesh Jain from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So again, the question on the yield. Now, if I look at your AUM growth on a sequential basis, it's 3%. While your revenue on MFP is down by 4% sequentially, when I compare sequentially, so from 2Q to 3Q. So that clearly indicates, and when we calculate the yield on basis, we get a 2.5 basis point kind of a decline, what the previous caller was asking. So, you know, there is some, I don't know, whether there is some disparity in the numbers. Secondly, on the same thing, last year around this time, there was some mention about you kind of front-ending the cost on certain schemes, which is, you know, like for the full year, you front-end the cost in Q3, while most of the companies kind of do it after Q3. And that used to, that impacted the yields in 3Q of last year. Something similar has that happened in this quarter, wherein your margins have been impacted and possibly some recovery can be expected in Q4?
No, see, as you rightly said, the growth in the EOM of 4%, but then you have to see the category, which category of growth has actually happened. So in the hybrid category, there have been a slight degrowth because of redemption pressure, and that has actually come down, while the growth has actually happened in the ETF category and the liquid category, where the fees are actually lower. So that's why you can't compare EOM growth along with the fees growth, and because of that, you are finding the difference.
But there is nothing of the expenses bit that happened last year.
No.
So, Prayesh, there was no front-ending. What we had mentioned last time, that variable pay was coming at a single quarter last year, but then we said that we will average it out over the 4 quarters, and that's what we have done this year.
So that is in the AMT balance sheet, nothing to do with the yields on the scheme.
No. So, I'm talking about the scheme accounts only. Last year, CQ, when the yield had dropped sequentially, there was an explanation given that, you know, last year again, the dip was from 42 bips in 2Q FY22 to 38 bips in 3Q FY22. Something similar kind of drop has happened in this year as per our calculation. And last time in 3Q FY22, an explanation was given for the yield that because on the scheme side, you kind of front-end the cost for the full year in this, in particularly in third quarter. That's the reason the yields kind of fall. And that's the reason 4Q, we saw a recovery which went to 41 bips. Something of this that sort can be expected in this year also? That is my question.
No, I don't think there is no concept of front-end of the commission or the fees as far as the scheme books are concerned. This particular quarter, the decline is primarily because of the growth in the ETF AUM, sir. And we expect to close the full year at around 37 to 38 basis point only.
Okay, so no expectation.
I think there's some disconnect in the understanding. So may I request you to take it offline with Vinay and Surjit?
Sure, I'll do that, sir.
So that the proper data can be exchanged and you get a very clear picture. There's nothing like the front-ending and there's nothing like the back-ending of any expenses. All our expenses are fully audited on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. We have a concept of concurrent audit where everything is audited on a daily basis or NAV. Mm-hmm. And we carry out the limited review regularly. Our schemes also, we do the half-yearly limited review. So it's a part of very diligent, transparent processes. There cannot be any front-loaded or back-loaded expenses accrual.
Sure, sir.
There's some confusion about the understanding.
Sure.
Therefore, I would request you to, if you will speak to Vinay offline, he will give your data points and that will give the better picture.
Sure, sir. I'll do that. And so, secondly, on the, you know, talks in the media of about, you know, SEBI kind of thinking about constraining the expenses, especially TER ratios further for the large AMCs, you know, especially having equity AUMs of 50,000 crore plus, and also subsuming the GST rates and the brokerage rates into the TER, which were exclusive of the TER, beyond the TER now. Any comments there that would be helpful?
Friends, as you appreciate, the regulatory issues. And this is a media article. We can't give any comment on the speculation. And whatever happens, it will happen for the entire industry. So I respect that, and therefore it is not appropriate for me, particularly representing UTI, to speak anything on speculation. So please wait for the, if anything has to happen, will happen. A new regulation will come, if it has to come.
And that will be uniformly applicable to the all asset managers. It will not be unique to us. And I can't comment on this at this particular point of time.
Okay. And so my last question is on the debt side, where, you know, there has been a lot of outflows from the industry. Is there an expectation of the flows kind of coming back on the medium to longer duration? And how, in that scenario, how do you see the yields moving on the debt book, say, from next year onwards? How would that impact the overall yields as well? That would be my last question.
I'm quite optimistic in the fresh inflows in the debt segment of the business. We at UTI, we are witnessing a positive inflow. I hand over to Sandeep to answer your question. Sandeep, you start.
Yeah. So if you see, Prayesh, the 22 was a difficult financial year due to high global inflation and ease of monetary policy. Therefore, we saw a multiple number of factors which led to inflation taking the front seat and rising significantly above the comfort level of their local central bank. To rein in this inflation, the central bank globally started hiking the interest rate, including our central bank, RBI. Closer to home now, the union budget which was presented yesterday, it has created enabling conditions for sustained economic growth by maintaining high focus on capital spending while ensuring debt fiscal management. Market expectations for the policy rates are that it will peak at around 6.50%, and this presents a scenario where debt is an asset class looks relatively attractive at this juncture when real returns are positive, which was not the case in the last couple of years. So this is what I would like to say, and on the inflows, Vinay, would you like to add?
I think we expect the policy rate to peak at around 6.5%, and we believe that thereafter that the debt as an asset category should actually look attractive, especially on the duration, intermediate duration strategy of 1 to 4 years. So some of those strategies like a short-term duration fund or a banking PSU fund, I think we expect to receive inflows under these categories of fund going forward.
And I think using this particular medium, I would request the investors to invest in the debt fund. It's the right time to invest in.
So any impact on the debt yields?
A policy rate we expect to peak at around 650.
So I'm asking about the debt AUM on which you earn certain amount of yields, which is could be
but
possible.
But yield is close to around 26, 27 basis points.
Yeah. That should move higher with the flows moving into the...
Yeah, with a slightly a longer duration product, that may improve by a basis point of view.
Oh, all right.
Mr.
Thank
Jain,
you.
Yeah, thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshay Jain from JM Financials. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. So my question is again on the yields. So, yeah, I was just back calculating. So, like, your equity and hybrid MF AUM, that is down by around 800 odd crores. Even if I assume, say, a 1% yield on this for a quarter, the revenue should have been down by only 2.5 odd crores. However, revenue on a quarter-on-quarter basis is down by 9 to 10 odd crores. So, what explains this decline in the revenue on a quarter-on-quarter basis?
So the revenue decline has been because of the lower AUM under the equity and the hybrid category. Because of that, there has been a marginal decline, almost around 7 crore decline under the equity and hybrid category because of mark-to-market depreciations under these two categories. And ETF, obviously, since the yields are stagnant at around 5.5 to 6 basis points, there have been an absolute growth as far as revenue is concerned, but marginal decline under the overall category to around 37 basis points.
So the main is because the AMC fee is down by 7 crores, mainly because of the 8 crores. It's mainly because of the M2M. Because as you know, the market has been very volatile, and therefore this was there was impact.
Okay, sir. Okay. So I'll take it offline. So next question is on one of your disclosures, sir. So looking at the disclosure for commission payout to distributors, which you put out annually. So I was just looking at the total numbers. So for FY22, the total commission which has been paid as per the disclosure is around 200 odd crores, and the total distributed AUM stands at around 30,000 odd crores. However, if I calculate, so like you say that around 70% of your equity AUM is distributed. So of the 1 lakh crore, 70,000 crores should have been distributed. So like, why is this discrepancy? Like, the total AUM distributed should have been close to around 70,000 odd crores. However, it is only showing as 30,000 odd crores. So any comment on this?
But that disclosure is with respect to the total commission paid, including the commission paid on the stock AUM as well. It's not only on the fresh sale.
No, no. So, yeah, so I'm talking about AUM only. So there the total AUM is only 30,000 odd crores. I'm looking at the average AUM, the total AUM of the 1,500 odd distributors which you have disclosed. However, if I calculate the total distributed AUM, which is close to around, say, 70% of the equity AUM, that comes to around 65 to 70,000 odd crores. So, it's like only half of the AUM has been disclosed over here. So, how is it? How is it work?
Yeah, I think it is only for the top 1,000 or 1,500 distributors that the requirement, it's a regulatory requirement which we have to give the data for, and it's above a certain threshold. So that's why that AUM and the commission which has been paid on an overall basis, as when I mentioned, it is on the, it is the tail commission which has been given. So that's why the number could be different.
Understood, sir. That clarifies it. So any specific on the threshold? So like only top 1,500, or is there some amount-wise threshold which is there?
I'll have to check on that, Akshay. I can get back to you. I don't remember whether it's on the AUM or there is a regulatory requirement to disclose above a certain limit. I'll have to check what the, is it based on the top 1,500 or is it based on the AUM if it is above 1 crore or something like that.
Understood, sir. So my next question is on the international side. So like international AUM has been declining for like past 5 or 6 quarters. So like it has declined from the highs of 35,000 crores to almost 24,000 odd crores in this quarter. So any specific reason for this you'd like to attribute? And number two, so there was around 60 odd crores MTM loss which you have reported in this quarter in the international business. So what is the reason for the same?
Yeah, so
first of all, going to say MTM loss first. Yeah, MTM loss is highlighted here. MTM loss.
Yeah, just one second. First on the MTM loss, as I just mentioned, I'll just report this again. See, UTI IDEF, which is one of the funds where we have a fund size of around 8,940 crore or $1,080 million. The investment which was provided as a seed capital and the book value of this investment is around 116.2 crores and the market value as on 31st December was 280 crores. The impact of the financial is due to the decline in the NAV from September and the current impact on the financial reporting purpose. As the fund has grown over time and has crossed $1 billion, UTI has reduced the investment by booking profits over time. And we will continue to reduce our exposure from IDF gradually. The fund has given an absolute return of 86.32% from inception in dollar term and has given steady management fees to UK International over the years. And if you look at why my AUM has reduced, there is a marginal decline from the quarter two where the AUM was 25,105 crores to 23,826 crores. One of the primary reasons for the reduction was the fall in the AUM of UTI India Dynamic Equity Fund, which has gone down from 1139 crores to 1080 crores. And some of the equity funds have also got an impact due to the market appreciation or depreciation.
So, Akshay, let me just share with you. UTI International has investment in three schemes as a seed investment. IDEF, Balance Fund, and Innovation Fund. So there are the M2M effect is of 24 crores is there, and the currency impact is of 38 crores is there. So total impact is 62 crores. IDEF is down by 40 crores, Balance Fund by 5 crores,
and innovation fund by 17 crore. So therefore, their M2M, both currency and the market, is 62 crore. There is no significant change so far as the loss of investor is concerned. This particular product is very popular and we are continuously receiving the money in this particular fund.
Understood, sir. And the last question is on the cash on the balance sheet. So we have close to around so what is the strategy on the cash? We have close to around 3,200 odd crores of investments and cash on the balance sheet. So what is the strategy of utilizing this going ahead? So like, is there a plan for some dividend or some special dividend or anything for this?
We don't have any plan of giving any special dividend at this particular point of time. We have last year we gave around 62% of our profit we distributed. We are very sensitive about the cash management. We are also investing in the growth of the organization. As I indicated, that some of the resources may be required. If the next year onwards, if we start investing in a geographical expansion and also in our digital strategy, the board has to decide if the board would like to consider any special dividend or not. This is not the CEO's perspective to take any call on that. So, and now we are in the last quarter. We will discuss this at the end of this quarter. In the next call, you will have a better picture.
Achcha. Understood, sir. Then the last question is again on the yield side. So, like, what will be the current yields on the equity AUM? And number two, what will be the outlook going ahead? Maybe if you can give some idea on, how much of the AUM is still on the old regime where you have already paid upfront commission, and what is the proportion of new?
We can comment only on the stock AUM yield that is close to around 77 to 78 basis points on the equity and hybrid category. On the fresh AUM yield, as I told you, it's very difficult to put any number of that because of the distribution expense ratios that varies from IFAs to IFA.
And actually, I also would like to mention it to you, we are seriously reviewing our sales strategy, and in this sales strategy, we are reviewing our sales strategy. So next call we will be in better position to give you a color about our what would be the likely yield for the next financial year 23-24. So please give us some time, and market will also be a bit stable. There's a lot of volatility in the market.
I understand, sir. Thank you for the answering my questions.
The next question is from the line of Mohit from BOB Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. So my first question is, in terms of the market share in equity, so last, if you look at 7-8 quarters, we have, the market share in equity AUM has reduced. Overall, we have maintained, but equity AUM has reduced. So any strategy to gain the market share in equity AUM?
We have our... We are quite focused in our equity strategy. Our team is continuously in touch. We have the three flagship product. We are pushing it very hard, and we are quite confident that our equity market share should improve on a quarter-on-quarter basis. As I mentioned to you on every call, that we are quite focused on high-yielding assets. Our sales strategy should focus on high-yielding assets. We are quite committed, and the performance is also more or less in some of the schemes on our side, and we will definitely improve our share in the equity scheme. The most important thing I would like to mention it here, besides the number, is our investment team. I believe that we have got the right team in place. They are people with high ethical and moral values, very diligent and committed to our investors and the stakeholders. So investment team is blessed. We have a right distribution team in place. We are quite focused to go deep and deep in the market, both in top 50 cities and beyond 50 cities. So hopefully we will see the good improvement in our equity market share as well as a part of our strategy. And I can't give you any number forward looking number on this.
Mohit? No. Yeah, perfect. So perfect. So I mean, going into financial year 24, I mean, any plans to launch new schemes or any pipeline if you can share with us?
Yes, we have, Sandeep.
Yeah. So Mohit, if you look at in the last month, that is January, we launched three funds. One is the Crystal HDL Maturity Fund. Then we launched a focused fixed term income fund, and we launched the Nifty HDL Plus PQ Bond Fund. We have the approval from the regulator for launching five funds, and depending on the market conditions, we'll be looking to launch this fund. This includes the Silver ETF, the Nifty 50 Equal Weight Index Fund, the FTF Series, another fund in that, the Nifty HDL Plus AAA PSU Bond, and the Long Duration Fund. But this will all be launched subject to market conditions. So this is a pipeline of the fund which have been approved by the regulator so far.
Perfect. My last question is just a clarification. So if I look at this consolidated, so this M2M loss that we had booked, you know, for this quarter, wherein it was income in previous quarters, was primarily because of that UTI International, right?
Yes. Primarily UTI International.
Right. Perfect. Thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
The next question is from the line of Aman Shah from GT Investments. Please go ahead.
And the last question, huh?
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, I am just on a longer term basis. My question is on the employee cost. If I just see ourselves versus the three other players, are the AUM size of the other three players are roughly 20 to 40% higher, while the total number of employees is lower by 20 to 40%. So there is roughly a 40% higher employee base that we are having. I know it will actually take time since it will to correct it, but just wanted your thoughts, sir. How do we see like? Though the retirees that we are having, we are not substituting it with any new employees. That is well appreciated. But beyond that, if we have to see this 40% of expanded employee base that we are having, how do we see that getting corrected over a medium-term period? Yeah, thank you, sir.
One is the number which Sandeep has shared with you, that there is improvement. As Surjit also mentioned that if you compare on the year-to-year basis with the yearly salary increase, there is a saving of around 20 to 25 crores on a year-on-year basis. The question is now the high productivity and the rationalization of manpower. Some of the manpower we may use also for the if we expand our reach further. And we are also seriously thinking of the rationalization of the manpower. So you will have to give us some time. In the next quarter, we will be in a better position to answer this. And details on the employee cost number, Sandeep, I shared with you. And or Surjit. And Surjit, can you share this number once again?
Yeah, so if you look at the number of people who are retiring in this year, the total number is 60. In the next financial year, we have 50 more people who are retiring. And the year after, we have 71 more people retiring, and in 25-26 we have 111 people retiring. So if you see, there is a trend of retirement which is continuing for the next 4-5 years.
And then rationalize this particular implies. So they are quite committed.
So we won't see a substitution to this retirees, right? Or
we will not see any substitutions of the retire of class 3, class 4. Non-manager staff we call, not at all. But we may see the substitutions in our sales team. But it will be a low cost. It will not be high cost. These are the, here duration implied, implies for 30, 35 years. But when we hire the new folks in the sales team, the cost is almost one third. Or even more.
The second question was, sir, our quarterly net sales number, when I see that number in the category of equity and hybrid put together, our market share is much lower than what our book market share is of the AUM. So in Q3, we had a negative, we had a net outflow of quarterly net sales. In Q2 also, we had a net outflow, while industry did saw a net inflow of the net sales number. So one is the performance part, but second is the sales part also, where we are having the machinery is not quite. Would we want to make some changes in that sales machinery, sir?
Sales is a focused area, and we are working to revitalize, re-energize, and re-engineer our sales team. And Vinay, you want to say something? No, there is nothing more to it. Yes, we are re-energizing or reorganizing our sales team.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this would be the last question for today. And the question is from the line of Abhijit Sakhare from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everyone. Sir, on the cost line again, where do you plan to end this year in terms of overall OPEX? If you could guide us towards some range and then maybe some, indication for overall OPEX growth for next year as well. That would be helpful.
What is the second question?
OPEX growth outlook for next year as well.
Yeah, see, I will take it in two parts. The employee cost, if you see on a quarterly basis, it's almost stabilized around 104 crores and it will be on a downward trend. And in respect of the OPEX, if you remember in the last call of October also, I said it should be in the range of 54-55. And on a consolidated basis, this year also the other expenses is around 56 crore. So that should be our target and run rate. It should be around 55-56 crore.
Got it. And sir, you mentioned that in terms of variable staff cost, you said part of it is linked to fund performance. So if you could give some color in terms of how do you measure it, like what's the time frame that you look at when you assess the performance of the industry?
Different for different teams and, different for the sales team, different for the investment team. We will not like to get into the details of the internal KRA system that we have because it's the proprietary to the organization and we have developed it over a period of time. So, but be rest assured, it is based on a very scientifically used qualitative and quantitative measures, which are there for the fund team as well as for the sales team.
But let me share with you. When we calculate the incentive for our investment team, we do consider the short term, medium term, long term performance. We also consider the peers comparison and peers how are we are performing with. Against our peers. So we'll lay down, KRAs which we have. We have a very stringent system to monitor the performance. The performance of the chief executive and KMPs are monitored by the board on a quarterly basis. So we have a very, very well laid down and stringent review process with our NRC and the board. And a very, very transparent within the system.
Got it, sir. And lastly, we'll end the full year with the overall tax rate at close to 25, right? Because there's been some volatility in that number.
Should be around 21, 22 only.
Okay, got it. This is helpful. Thank you.
At 21, yeah. Yes, 21. And thank you.
Thank you. As that was the last question for today, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, friends. Thank you for joining this call. We continue to need your support. And thank you for supporting UTI and to the management team. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, everyone, for your participation in our Q3 Q3 and 9 months FY22-23 earnings call. In case of any future queries, you may get in touch with Investor Relations team at AdFactors. We look forward to interacting. Thank you. On behalf of UTI Asset Management Company, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.